It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
This was supposed to be a rebuilding, retooling year in Buffalo. Instead of waiting for a window to reopen, Allen has elevated his game in enough different ways to let everyone know he has flung the window as wide open as it could possibly be.
Josh Allen is the most effective running quarterback ever. Josh Allen's scrambles are more effective in crucial moments than any quarterback running play ever.
Once he puts that back foot down and he realizes, oh gosh, it ain't zone. I've said this many times. That's an example of why there's only so many people on the planet that are franchise quarterbacks.
The league has stars, and he's one of them, you know what I mean? He's just a tremendous talent, very skilled guy. Some guys are just made to play ball in the position that they play, and he's definitely one of those guys. It's been very fun to watch. I've been having a lot of joy since I've been here.
I'm going to do anything and everything that I can do to help this team win football games, and sometimes it's, again, handing it off, sometimes it's throwing it, sometimes it's running it. So whatever I'm asked to do, I'm just trying to do to the best of my ability.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Football Friday. I'm just crafting a tweet slash skeet.
They're calling them skeets. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're
blue
sky.
Skeets. Yeah, skeets.
Yeah. I think it's kind of. Anyway, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. It's Football Friday. And, well, if you watched last night's game, which I did, you went to bed?
I watched the fourth quarter from bed, and I think I dozed off at some point during a commercial timeout after, I think the last thing I remember is the Steelers recovering a fumble.
Okay.
So I would have missed that wire touchdown down the line to Calvin Austin that Wilson threw.
Yes, you missed that. And then the Browns got intercepted. The Steelers had a 19-18 lead with the ball.
Yeah.
And we're basically looking to run out the clock. The Steelers get the ball with 4:22 left in the fourth, up one.
In Browns territory, even?
At their own 27 ish.
Okay, okay.
Like the Browns might have been in field goal range ish.
Yeah.
And then they threw a pick. They're at the Pittsburgh 38 yard line, and Jameis gets intercepted.
Okay.
So I got to find win probability here because there's a play in this game in Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh game, it's in Cleveland with the snow, that if you didn't think the Steelers were cooked as a team, I've got to tell you what happened on their final drive that will make you think they are cooked as a team. Were you watching this, Josh, at the very end? Okay. It's incredible that this happened. The Steelers have the ball and they are trying to run out the clock.
Yeah.
First and 10, their own 24. Can they kill this game? Najee Harris for three. Najee Harris for three. Timeout. And then third and four at their own 30.
Yeah.
Who's the quarterback on that play? It's Justin Fields.
Yeah, Fields played a lot yesterday.
He did play a lot. He was also the quarterback on the second and seven handoff. And
they went for a fourth down in the first half where they put him out there.
Yeah.
But it was just a design quarterback run.
The Steelers are using Justin Fields like the Saints use Taysom Hill.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes,
like,
they are.
Oh, we've got it's a third and four, and we're going to put Justin Fields on the team. He threw a deep ball to George Pickens on third and four.
Yeah. Yeah. He had another deep ball that went out of bounds that I think got called back by penalty earlier in the game, too. So
it's absolutely wild to think about that the Steelers are a good team. I guess they still are a good team. But in the scenario where if this is the Bills leading by one, fourth and four, or third and four, at their own 30 with a drive to kill the game, and you're like, boy, we got to get our starting quarterback off the field and get some change of pace guy in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible that it happened. So, of course, they don't pick it up. They punt the ball, and then the Browns proceed to go nine plays, 45 yards, because you can't really punt. The punt was a 16-yard punt in the wind.
Right.
Wind and snow, you couldn't pick. You couldn't kick, rather. So from third and four, incomplete, punt, Browns ball, touchdown, game.
Yeah. And you have a big problem with Fields being on the field there?
All it means to me is you're not a serious contender.
Uh-huh.
You don't think Russell Wilson, your starting quarterback, is not your best plan to pick up 4 yards?
Right.
You didn't have a pass play for that? I mean, Wilson did scramble in this game a little bit. It's not like he's not Joe Flacco.
He's not completely inept. My problem with them on that fourth down call, I don't mind them putting like Fields out on a fourth and two, but they call a design quarterback run. Why don't I just do that with a running back then at that point? Like, to me, the whole idea of Fields being out there is I call a pass play and his scramble is going to be infinitely more likely to get a first down than most quarterbacks in the league. But when you don't call pass plays, what's the point?
Yeah.
Why is he different than Jalen Warren?
Yeah, it's no coincidence.
The threat of it, I guess.
That but Allen's like, big touchdown is a scramble, not a design run.
And right, how, yeah.
You know, in the spots with the running quarterbacks, like, I guess, you know, whatever, two different schools of thought, but how did Baltimore lose last week? They had what looked like a designed run for Lamar.
Yeah.
Instead of why don't we have a pass called, and if he wants to run because it's there, he takes it. You get two chances to win the same play.
Yeah.
Man, Pittsburgh last night. If you're a Browns fan, I would think you'd be furious. There's also some actual numbers on this, on Tomlin against bad teams late in seasons.
Yeah, also him on Thursday Night Football, I think also. He's now 1-9 on the road on Thursday Night Football in his career. Like, just kind of like a weird, he just never, ever wins in that situation.
Yeah, and the Browns win that game a lot. I saw Andrew Siciliano had the stats. On short weeks, the Browns have a winning streak. On Thursday Night Football, they have a winning streak. I believe their home Thursday Night win streak might be 9 in a row.
Yeah.
That might go back to E.J. Manuel or something. But anyway, Doug Clawson had this. He is CBS Sports. On Tomlin's bad losses, the Steelers have lost to the 2-10 Cardinals, 2-10 Patriots, and 2-8 Browns in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
And the rest of the NFL has one loss to a team with two or fewer wins in week 12 or later. So the entire NFL record against teams with two wins at this point in the season.
Yeah.
The Steelers have three of the four losses the last 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, does that point to they're no different than they really ever have been?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I think they're a little better. I know. Did you watch the regular broadcast or the Prime Vision broadcast?
Regular broadcast.
I don't like that Prime Vision is now only doing Skycam, by the way. Like, they used to do more of like an expanded, like the normal angle, you know, on the sideline, like you're looking at it from the side, and they would just kind of expand it out a little bit so you could see more of the field, you could see the safeties back there, you could see the receiver routes. And in the last like 3 weeks, that Prime Vision broadcast that they do, Amazon, is all Skycam. It's all from above. And I don't love that as much. But I was watching it in the first half, and they did point out on Wilson, they had numbers on the moonshots and balls that are in the air for more than 2.5 seconds and how so much better he is than the rest of the league on those types of passes. And then separate from just that specific, like, oh, balls that are in the air forever, he is number one in the league in completion percentage over expected on deep balls this season. Like, he is getting better results on deep balls than almost any quarterback in the league. That is very different than what they've had before.
Yes.
But can you live like that? Because that is a couple plays a game, even for the best ones, right? And you saw yesterday a little bit, I think. If you play in Pittsburgh and you're going to be playing in the AFC North late in the year, you can't just be chucking the ball 50 yards down the field every play, which is why I think they're going to be putting Justin Fields on the field, right?
I guess
like,
so.
That's not going to end. He's going to keep playing Fields, like, you know, what, 8-9 snaps a game? An important maybe the more important thing is that he doesn't just play 8-9 snaps. He'll play like the most important 8-9 snaps of an offensive drive. If it's, hey, third and shorts, fourth and shorts, you're the guy that's going to go out every time.
Yeah. That's it to me, is how it's the biggest play of the game right there in the snow on the road. And that's what you've got, is we're going to go to our Justin Fields package, which, you know, he's not horrendous, but
no,
man.
He won games for them earlier in the season.
Yeah.
When he was in there. And a different coach maybe never would have taken him out. He might still be the starting quarterback. I don't know. I think they're a little better. I think even maybe they're a good amount better than what they've been in the past. But I think they've stunk, right? Like, what they had been for a couple of seasons was oh yeah, like we'll win a couple of games against the Ravens every year, and you know we'll be look impressive doing that defensively. But we'll grind our way to 8-9 wins. We'll squeak in the playoffs, and then we'll get smoked by a team in the first round. Because for the most part, they never had a quarterback, and they had a coordinator that in Matt Canada that many considered to be like the worst in football. So quarterback and coordinator just that nobody would have trusted. Now, like, it's at least respectable. So I'm thinking, like, that's a team that, you know, would give somebody a tough run in the first round. But are they a Super Bowl team? I think no. They proved to you yesterday that that's not a legitimate Super Bowl team.
No, I don't think so either. And T.J. Watt was silenced. He did nothing in this game, which is not the norm for him. They did not run the ball well. Pittsburgh, they got back in it because Russell Wilson. That's the other thing. Russell Wilson threw them back in this game.
Right. The touchdown pass was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like how did rope you, down the middle.
How did you get the lead? How did you get back in it? Russell Wilson did the job for you. They were down 18-6 in the snow.
In the snow, yeah.
And Russell Wilson leads two touchdown drives off of a couple of turnovers, one turnover at least. And it's just kind of funny. You know, it's not even really a version of if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. It's more so biggest play of the game. Is your starting quarterback on the field? No. Okay, then I can't take you seriously. I mean, you might defend it out there. Who knows? But for me, this is not a case of overcoaching. It's just a case of a fundamental flaw. You don't trust your – is it that you don't
that's
trust
more,
him?
That's more what it is. I think they're more likely to get the first down with Justin Fields on the field.
Yeah.
Because of his ability to run. But that might be their – that's their problem, right? I think you get to a 3rd-and-4, I think you can reasonably argue your backup quarterback gives you a better shot. But I think that does also show your flaw as a team, which is your quarterback's okay, but he's not – you know, he's okay. Right?
Yeah.
That's all I need to go on, Wilson. Like, he's okay.
He was great last night. Completion percentage over expected, 23.
Yeah.
23% over expected. I mean, like,
So maybe then you would say in a game like that, where he's playing like that,
imagine
in a different game, maybe you put Fields out there, but the way Wilson was playing last night, you don't.
Right. They had not had a touchdown. At halftime, they put the stat up. They had not had a touchdown in 6 quarters. And here's Russell Wilson, who gets you 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then it's 3rd-and-4 to kind of not quite win the game. You would have needed probably another first down. It's just it's nuts to me. 803-0550. The weather was beautiful. You had a snow game. It went from flurries and the broadcast desperately wanting it to look like a snow game.
Yeah.
To it actually being
It
got to a snow game.
Yeah, to the point where Al Michaels couldn't see if the field goal was good or not.
Yeah, well, you couldn't see a kick at all.
You couldn't
see on the broadcast it. You had no idea if that kick went through.
Yeah.
Kick.
Also to the point where I like very quickly opened my weather app to see like that's Cleveland. Is that coming our way?
Yeah.
Am I going to wake up tomorrow morning and need to know where my snow brush is?
There's
a little warm here.
There's also, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, you're furious at the officials because something else that, again, if you were asleep, an intentional grounding call that was not called.
Yeah.
Did you see this play?
No.
No. Josh,
I thought you were going to say the no-call pass interference on their 2-point conversion.
Okay.
Because that would have changed the game. I saw some complaints on this where, well, first off, okay, there are a couple problems here. There was a pass interference, I think, on this 2-point conversion. Do you see what the Steelers' play call was? They're up 1, trying to go up 3. They ran Wilson's on the field, not Fields. They run a fade route to Cordero Patterson.
Yeah.
Who is a running back now. Hasn't been a receiver in like 7 years. Right, He's lined up wide. You have George Pickens and Mike Williams.
Yeah, you have two receivers built for that.
And they did it to Patterson. Whatever. They didn't call the penalty, and I think the Steelers were upset because after the fact, you know, playing the results, because they had to let the Browns score a touchdown. They couldn't let them play for the field goal at the end because then they would have just ran it down. Whereas if they were up 3 instead of 1, then they could have tried to stop them, I think.
Yeah.
So that's not what's the intentional grounding.
So Jameis Winston, on the drive that the Browns score a touchdown to win the game, basically, they're at the edge of what you might consider field goal range, and Winston drops back and gets hit and throws the ball, and it's definitely intentional grounding.
Okay.
But one, this is what the rules official is, Terry McCauley. Terry, what do you see out there?
Yeah.
Of course, got to explain why. It wasn't a flag because he was hit at the time, which you could make that case. You know, if you're a quarterback that's going to intentionally ground the ball, to nowhere and you get hit. Well, I was hit. What actually happened, though, is he intentionally grounded it at his lineman. It hit a lineman, and the lineman is not allowed to touch that ball, so they called him for illegal touching.
Okay.
So there's a flag on the play for illegal touching, and the ruling is that it was not intentional grounding, which would have put them on like a 4th and 13.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, the Browns have a chance to replay the down. They pick up the first down. They convert. They go on. They score the touchdown. So the whole thing was kind of nuts. I mean, it is almost impossible to get intentional grounding called against you unless you're Josh Allen throwing to Gabe Davis who runs the wrong route, in which case they're going to call that. Like, they're so much more likely to call intentional grounding when a receiver runs the wrong route than they are when a quarterback actually throws it into the ground on purpose.
Yeah, I think the tough part here, you ever play Madden or college football when you're getting hit and you had hit the button to throw it to a receiver and the ball travels 1 yard and hits the ground and it's not intentional grounding? Is that what the refs are thinking are going on here? Did they think Winston was going to just chuck the ball deep and because he got hit so hard, the ball only went like 3 yards? That's the only explanation I can think behind why this wasn't called. I think that probably is the explanation, though. It's he got rocked, and there's no quarterback in the world getting that contact that could have got the ball further than that. So, I don't know. If you're getting hit, if you're a quarterback, I think you probably just let the ball go exactly how Winston did, and then just go, oh, what do you mean? I was trying to throw it 20 yards down the field, and I'm getting tackled. What do you mean? I can't do it there.
It's an easy defense. If that happens against the Bills, though, we're furious. Like that dude was throwing the ball into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we are. If the opposing quarterback had done it, yep. Yeah, I think we're doing that.
Well, the Browns win. Jameis wins.
Fun
Steelers
game.
Lose.
It was a fun game.
It was a fun game. I enjoyed it very much.
Were you rooting for the Steelers?
No, never. Never.
But even for...
No.
I had seen a debate that basically... For the Bills' sake,
sure.
What is better for them?
You want the
Ravens to win their division or to flirt with the idea that if the Bills don't get the one seed, you play Baltimore in round one?
I don't think you can really make a difference. I understand the concept.
Because
you'd rather have the Ravens be a wild card team. The Ravens are just as likely to play the Bills in the first round as they would be to play them in the second round. Like, are you convinced they're going to be the 5? How far are they away from the 6 or the 7? The 6 or the 7, Baltimore could lose a game. Baltimore's got
a tough schedule.
They do, and they have bad. Right. They lost to the Raiders. Like they have bad losses. Baltimore could easily slip to the 7, and that would be not affected by whether or not Pittsburgh won or lost this game.
I think though, if you told me, like I bet actually this would be reflected in any like Super Bowl odds that like ESPN puts up on their analytics sites or the betting odds if you want that too. If you knew the Bills' path had to go Baltimore in round one, followed by whoever they'd play in round two, and then the Chiefs at some point, you would say that that is a much tougher path.
Well, let's do it. The New York Times playoff machine lets you put in 7 seed.
Okay.
Ravens, Chargers.
For who?
Yeah, let's do the schedule. Ravens, Chargers.
Oh, for the game.
Who's going to win?
The Chargers.
Chargers. Ravens, Eagles.
Ravens.
Ravens-Giants is Ravens. Ravens-Steelers.
Steelers.
Steelers. Ravens-Texans.
Ravens.
Ravens. And Ravens-Browns.
Ravens.
Ravens. The chance they get the 7 seed is 2%.
Okay.
Switch the...
And the Bills, I don't think, are very likely to get the 3, so...
No, 7 play the 2.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think the Bills are likely to drop to the 3.
If the Ravens lose to the Eagles, the chances go to 26%.
Yeah.
If they lose to the Texans, now we're at 50-50. Like I know I added 3 losses in there.
They'd have to lose a lot of games to get down at the 7.
They'd have to lose. It depends. I mean, it depends what the Chargers do. But
yeah.
They're alive for the 7 seed.
Yeah, which I think it would be the argument behind rooting for the Steelers to lose. Because you'd rather play the Steelers in round one if you have to play a North team than the Ravens.
But the chances you have to play a North team are probably pretty slim as it is.
Right.
So, I mean... I don't know. I think 5, 6, and 7 are all going to be good teams. It comes down to whether or not you have Ravens fear.
Ravens fear over
anybody else.
If you think there's a significant difference between them and those other teams that are currently wild card teams.
And I don't have that fear of the Ravens over the Chargers. Or the Ravens really over the Broncos. The Chargers and the Broncos have tremendous defenses and the Ravens is terrible.
Yep.
So,
but they also have the best offense probably.
They do.
Like, maybe in the whole thing.
They do.
Would you still say that? They have the best offense in the whole AFC?
I'm not sure about that.
They might have the worst defense.
They might have the best offense. 803-0550. One question that came to mind last night watching the game. Are these Bills better built to win a game like that last night than in previous years?
A snow game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snow game. They've won snow games before, but are they better built for that kind of snow game? The game itself was an example of snow being overrated. Both teams were able to throw the ball. The Browns were at their best throwing it. Chubb had 2 touchdowns, but did not run all that well. And Jameis Winston threw the ball pretty well. Russell Wilson threw the ball pretty well.
Did you see George Pickens' quote after the game about the conditions, by the way? He said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today. That was George Pickens.
I respect that.
Uh-huh. But they kept throwing. Both teams kept throwing. Someone is also dialing us up right now to talk about Tyler Bass, aren't they? About whether the Bills are built for a game like yesterday. Because the kicking game is probably affected.
Yeah. It's Football Friday, even though it's a bye week. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. A little light schedule. Sal's off. We're giving Chris Brown the day off. I didn't tell him that. He probably guessed that anyway. You know, it's Football Friday, going to the bye week, and week 12? Yeah, week 12. Yeah. Week 12 is underway. Pittsburgh falls to Cleveland on Thursday Night Football in what was a very good game. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call if you want. You know, you want to try that one on about the weather? Are the Bills better built for a game like that? I might want to say yes. I think the case is not that hard to make because the passing game is a shorter passing game. So, you know, if you want to get the ball out, you can do that. 803-0550, our number. Also want to talk about Mahomes today. We got into it a little yesterday at 9:30 about what's different about him. And I wonder when the conversation about him is allowed to be different. I'll tell you what I mean by that. So plenty to get to. It's a Football Friday, and you can give us a call or just hang out, whatever you like, here on WGR.
Like I said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
George Pickens, man.
Who again was fighting corners last night down the field a couple times.
I just respect it. I don't think the Cleveland Browns were a very good team at all. The weather kind of saved them. Love that. Honesty. George Pickens. Gets you in trouble, though. Good morning, Football Friday. Jeremy and Joe, we were back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. That's how fast we were back.
I think he's more one of the more fun receivers in the league right now.
I agree.
He is a crazy person. He's always doing weird stuff, fighting guys down the field. He only catches circus catches.
Yep.
And he is a guy that's willing to do that. Just be like, oh, yeah, that team we just played, yeah, they're terrible.
He is the next receiver that Pittsburgh will sign to a big contract, love, and then push out of town for his attitude.
Oh,
which is totally, what they love to do.
Totally right. 100%. Him and Tomlin all beef about...
Oh.
What was Claypool? Yeah, music at practice.
It'll be music at practice.
That was Claypool, right?
It'll be TikTok. It'll be
something.
Right? That was Juju
got in trouble because
of TikTok.
So Juju was TikTok. Claypool was music.
Wasn't Le'Veon
Antonio
Bell.
Antonio Brown was...
Facebooking live from the locker room.
Yeah, that's right.
Or something. The Steelers to fight their own receivers.
Yeah.
So, anyway, good morning. It's Football Friday.
But for now, he's pretty good.
Yeah. He is pretty good.
Is he a Coleman comp?
No.
I heard Sam Monson say that again this week about like how Pickens is just... Maybe there's elements of Pickens where he is never open. He's just never, ever, ever open. And it just doesn't... It doesn't matter to him. He'll get his yards. He'll get his catches. He'll get his touchdowns anyway.
Well, let me pull up... Sure.
There was a zone versus man thing about them, I think, before Coleman got going, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That like Pickens was really good against man and Coleman was the opposite. So that was the biggest difference maybe between the two?
The difference might only be that Pickens, I mean, he's not never open against man. He does not have a great like separation,
yeah.
But he beats press coverage. And
yeah, like he'll get off the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
You're not going to just jam him at the line.
Yes.
Okay, right. And that's where Coleman was thought to have maybe been in the biggest trouble.
Right. Matt Harmon, reception perception, had thought Pickens' best role is an X receiver.
Yeah.
And he thinks Coleman should not play X receiver. He did just, Harmon just did just do all of his like rookie write-ups, and the write-up on Coleman was a we'll see. This player has done exactly what we thought, which is he does not get open against man, but he makes plays. He wins right. bully ball style, which, you know, as long as that's one of the guys on your team, then you're good to go. You can't have that probably be your number one. And I don't really think there's, granted, it's early in his career to try and do this for Keon Coleman, but I don't have any, shouldn't say I don't have any, but I don't have a whole lot of space for, is this player going to grow into a number one? I don't think so. I think he'll be a really good number two for a while. Like, he'll give you the big plays that Gabe maybe didn't. And Davis was always a little bit disappointing.
Yep.
And I shouldn't say that. I mean, Gabe had a good career here, a fourth-round pick. But Coleman is a different version of that. One thing I wanted to get to, what was it? I had something else for you there about this game and about Pickens and the Steelers and the Browns. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, good morning. Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car Crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. You can give us a call if you want, 803-0550. Last night's game, a snow game. So are the Bills better suited to win a game like that than years past? Wouldn't you lay it out this way? If you wanted to make the case they were, it's two very simple things. One, they are more comfortable slash committed to running it,
yep.
which doesn't necessarily have to be all of the answer or even enough of it. And the other part is that the passing game throws it shorter. So to, it seems like if you this, I don't know if this bears out in the science of it, Joe, or not, but if you want to be a team that can throw it in the snow, you want a guy that can get open and make guys miss. Like Shakir in right. a game like that, I feel like would have 11 catches.
Yeah, right. And maybe Coleman short, too, because he's been one of Coleman and Samuel, too. I think you're now starting to see everybody get in on that a little bit, the yards after catch plays, but Shakir's obviously number one for that. Aren't they more built for it because this is their best combination of lines that they've ever had? Offensive and defensive lines? Offensive line, maybe that's undoubtedly true.
Yes, defensive line, I think people might still wonder about that.
Whether it's better than they've ever had before?
Yeah.
Because Rousseau is, I saw there was another stat on that Prime Vision cast yesterday, that TJ Watt is the number one defensive end in the league by EPA against runs, and that Greg Rousseau is number two. He's the second best defensive end in the sport when the other team is calling a run play. So Rousseau kind of emerging here, I think, as a more complete player that is also playing more snaps at that position. You know, you could argue that one. The offensive line, though, being as good as it's been, that plus the Shakir point about the yak plays and their short passing game and how they don't have to go down the field as much, doesn't it feel like in the past, whenever they've had snow games or whenever they've had crazy wind games, that it felt like Allen had to run the ball a lot. It was the only really option they had, because when they would try to run it, it wouldn't work. And now I feel like you've got a short passing game. You've got a line that allows you to run it a little bit better in that situation. I feel like the answer to that is probably yes, that they are better suited to play a game like that. Think of how they played Miami earlier in the season, where Allen didn't really have to do anything. They just got off a couple of big runs. That game's a little different defensively because that was just picks.
Yep.
But I think offensively, they're capable of winning a game now once in a while. Not on a consistent basis, but once in a while, if you need a game where Allen's not involved as much throwing the ball, I think the Bills are built to win that more than they ever have been.
How much of being built for a game in weather like that last night is perception? Because wouldn't anybody say Baltimore is built for that?
Yes.
Like Baltimore can play in that because they're gonna hand it to Derrick Henry.
Well, because for in their entire history, they've been built for that game, I think.
Sure.
Right?
Maybe. Who else?
Right now, they've Derrick Henry. But defensively, I don't know if they're built for that game, actually.
I don't know. Are the Chargers? The answer to that is yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers are, I think, definitely built for that. They play great defense. They run the ball a lot with Dobbins and Gus Edwards.
Uh-huh.
But because they're from Los Angeles, they probably would never get credit for being good enough to play in a game like that.
Just Harbaugh's persona, though, might help that along right. a little bit, right?
It is funny.
Harbaugh football is built for that.
They put it on the screen last night that Jameis had never won a game where it was 40 degrees or lower.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And on pregame, you know, he comes out on the field, and he's interviewed by whoever the woman is that's on the sideline for Amazon. I forget who it is. I'm sorry. About this performance. Hey, Jameis, what about the weather today? And he's talking about how excited he is to play in it. He never played in a game like that before. How did he play? Fine. He played like himself. Normal.
Yeah, he leapt over somebody to score a rushing touchdown, right?
Let me tell you, it might have been one of the plays of the year.
Did he try to go backwards, too? Or he kind of flipped once he was in the air
like
a little bit?
Like a Saquon juke?
Maybe he was like rolling once he was in the air. I don't know what he tried to do.
It was incredible. Yeah. I was rooting hard for the Browns. And sure, Bills fans might point out that, you know, keeping that division where it is and maybe Baltimore winning it is better. But I can't get around to anything other than rooting against the Steelers at all times. I just live there.
Uh-huh.
I don't have that many teams that I really feel that way about. The Chiefs, of course. And then after that, it's the Steelers. Just love to watch them lose. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
They're complaining that they got screwed by the schedule makers to play off a short week after Baltimore. Like, oh, playing Baltimore and then playing on a short week is getting screwed by the schedule makers because Baltimore's like a physical opponent and it's not fair to play on a Thursday. Never mind that every team in the NFL does that.
Right. That by the way, I wonder if there... I heard... This is another point I heard Monson make the other day. There's a little... No, actually, this was Amina Kimes' point. That there's a little bit of a misperception on the Chargers right now because they began the year running the ball so much that they are this Harbaugh team that wants to pound the ground. They want to run the ball down your throats. And since week six, here the neutral pass rate, since week six, they are number two in the league in pass rate. And it's by a ton. It's like them and the Bengals, then a massive gap, and then everybody else. So in the last month, the Chargers are deciding, like, we're going to throw the ball.
It's also put them on a winning streak.
I don't know that they can't go back to what they were doing, though, right? Like, and that might be the point, that who do you trust? Okay, the Bills are playing a home snow game, and they're playing the Chargers. You might very easily believe, oh, the Chargers can click back into the mode they were playing in beginning of the year. And just run it 30 times with Dobbins and Gus Edwards.
The last time the Bills played a snow game, they beat a dome team because the guy missed a kick. The Colts snow game, big snow game, where they beat Indy in overtime on a LeSean McCoy touchdown.
That can't be the last snow game, is it?
Well, I'm talking like real conditions. Hey, the
snowball game.
Yeah. Well, the snowball game is Miami.
But that didn't affect the game.
The snowball game is Miami.
Oh, but it didn't. Oh, you're saying it. Okay,
and that's one that they beat a South Florida team on a late field goal.
Okay, the Chargers or the Colts game in a second. There is an Atlanta game somewhere down the road Allen was terrible and it was snowing. And one maybe affected it.
That's the one where Matt Ryan slid into the end zone and spiked the ball and got called for celebration. And the touchdown got called back.
It wasn't a touchdown and they went back to like the 17-yard line.
Yep. All this is to point out, we remember all the snow games, that it's a net positive that there will not be a roof on the new stadium. These memories are clearer because of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, right. You would never remember that Atlanta game for a second. If
a lot of games
of
would just be the same.
The Colt game is legendary because of that.
Yep.
Yeah. And the crowd should be covered more than it was before, which covered, I think will help a little
bit. The concourse
bit.
Will be nice, but on the field, in the new stadium, a game like last night played in Cleveland, there will be snow, and it'll look good, and it'll be memorable.
And doesn't the league also probably not want the North teams playing in domes?
No, they definitely want snow. The broadcast...
Maybe that's a good point as to why none of the teams in the Northeast play in domes.
Yeah,
right? None of the AFC North plays in domes. The Bills, Jets, and Patriots don't play in domes.
NFC... East does not.
The only team up north in the NFC that does, I think, is Detroit.
Detroit and Minnesota also.
But okay, there's a couple in the NFC, and everybody else plays outdoors.
Yep.
And the dome teams are all in the south.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
803-0550, our number. We'll get a break in. 1-888-550-2550. Some reports of a flex that I did not know you could flex coming up. A Thursday night football flex is being reported. Not fully confirmed, but some reports about one coming up. We'll give you the update on that coming up in a moment here on WGR and Football Friday.
Question for you with the mentality of this team, though. Do you feel like you need the onesie?
Anything to help, I would say yes. If the previous years we have not ever had the onesie,
and we had the results that we had, I mean, let's see what happens when we do have a different type of outcome or with the result of having the one seed. It could change the whole dynamic of what's going to happen. Maybe we've always needed that extra break. Who knows? The Chiefs always got it, and they've always won. So who knows?
Deion Dawkins on with Kay Adams. We'll call that Improving the Game Plan, brought to you by Bathfitter. Improve your bath in one day with Bathfitter. It just fits. Football Friday, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Cooler temps are here. 30s, 38 right now, rain.
Yes, they are. I don't know if they're supposed to go back up, though, a little bit. We're not getting the snow. If it had been 10 degrees colder, we'd be getting exactly what we saw in Cleveland last week, wouldn't we?
Forecast high over the weekend, 47 tomorrow, 45 Sunday. Overcast, chilly. Good chilly-making weather.
Good. It is good chilly-making weather. Let me expand out just a little bit. I know it's early, but the forecast for next Sunday night hosting the 49ers, I know it's far out at this point, but we're looking at 30 degrees as the low at night. High of 38. Right. So we're probably going to be into home games in the 30-degree weather territory, especially for being at night.
Tracking that Brock Purdy situation where he was highly limited.
Yeah.
Guess who feels like a genius for picking up Tommy DeVito in Dynasty?
This is the takeaway?
This is the takeaway.
The Tommy DeVito. What do you expect Tommy DeVito to do for you? 6 points?
I mean, if Purdy doesn't play, yes, I'll take 6 points.
I mean,
I have my Josh Allen's on bye. Trevor Lawrence is on bye. Brock Purdy, we have big rosters in this league, everybody. And, you know, those three quarterbacks.
They're big rosters.
They are big rosters. 24-player rosters in this Dynasty League, Joe and I are in. Yeah. But anyway, I had no available quarterback if Purdy doesn't play, so I bid a lot of fab dollars on Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, yeah.
He's literally the only quarterback available.
Listen, if Tommy DeVito doesn't throw the ball to Malik Nabers with regularity, I'm gonna be upset.
I'm going to want that, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel great about it. I'm the newest Tommy DeVito.
He feels great about it until, again, he goes 10 for 20 for 97 yards and an interception.
The Tommy DeVito.
Although he was putting up some decent numbers last year, wasn't he?
He had 8 touchdowns and 3 picks last year. He had totally decent numbers for a guy that became a little bit of a joke because of his agent.
Yeah.
And his agent kind of obscured the idea that this is a young quarterback who, in his games last year, went in and was. Not in every game, but...
He was a Syracuse guy, wasn't he?
No.
DeVito? I thought he was. He, last year...
Maybe. No, he went to...
Both.
Yeah, he did.
He's
Syracuse.
Listed for both. Listed
for Illinois. Both. He transferred to Illinois.
Oh my gosh, his Pro Football Reference nickname is Tommy Cutlets.
Of course, ridiculous.
Really, listen, I like the... I'm enjoying the Italian-American thing. I just wish he was better. But... Again, 8 touchdowns, 3 picks. Although, hot take, if he starts doing that again, aren't the Giants going to bench him?
Well, they should.
Or find a way to bench him if he's playing too well.
He also ran 10 times for 71 yards in a game last year. Dual threat, baby.
Against the Eagles, he was 9 of 16 for 55 yards and a pick. I can't wait till you get that.
That's not so good.
Negative. You're going to get negative points.
That was mop-up duty. And it was Christmas. 803-0550. I have a Patrick Mahomes question for the world that I'd like everyone to sit with an answer. I'm going to tweet it out, and I'm bracing for impact off this question that may be viewed as a hot take. 803-0550. Get you that question about Patrick Mahomes and the NFL coming up on Football Friday on WGR.